Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've got a true story for you tonight. One Saturday, there were two people who met for the first time, and they got along just fine. I know both of these people. The next Monday, one of them has an employee at his company walk in and give notice. He thinks of the person he met on Saturday and wonders if she would like the job, as she had told him she just lost hers. So he calls, they talk, and voila, she has a new job. Just as hers ends, and he has a new competent person to fill the position that he needs. Now, hearing it like this, it just sounds like it's all tidy and neat, like it just happened. No fuss, no muss. But here's the reality. The person who had lost their job had no idea whatsoever that this person she had met for the very first time on that Saturday was going to be able to offer her a job on Monday. She had no way to know that. She couldn't have prepared for that. She only knew her job was ending. For her, the future was nothing but uncertain, and it was unplanned. Now, for the fellow with the sudden vacancy, he also had no idea of what was coming. For him, he had made no preparations to come to work on Monday, only to find his one long-term employee was now a short-timer. Again, he was somebody who had no plans to come to work and find himself in such a need. Now, I tell you this story because it illustrates the point that some things in our lives we just cannot make preparations for. God can. And God does. God plans. And He sees those preparations through. God makes plans for us. But it's only in His time that we see the fruit of His preparation. We're always facing changes here in our congregation as well as in our own lives. And we're oftentimes uncertain of what may happen next. And like the two people in the story, we don't know what God may bring to pass for our benefit. Now, we can know, however, that whatever it will be, it will happen according to His preparation and His timing. We need to focus on caring for one another, being faithful as God's people, and trusting in what God's plans for us are. Now, God prepares us for His plans for us. And in the gospel reading today, we see that God carefully arranges all things. And in the case of our salvation, God's preparations include declaring through Zechariah's prophecy what God's plans are. God's solution for man's problem of sin and rebellion is something that only God could come up with. We have not the wisdom or the compassion of God. What we do have is sin. We have sin that we have brought against God, that we have done. And that sin has blinded us to the real solution of our need. What we have need of is perfection, of complete righteousness, and of pure, unadulterated holiness. We need to truly realize that such purity and spotlessness is what God requires of all who want to be with God. And that's where we encounter our problem. Our problem of sin, our problem of rebellion. We've imprisoned ourselves in sin. so that we have no chance whatsoever on our own to reconcile with God. We are truly lost and locked away. It's like suddenly being without a job. You have no way of seeing the future clearly. When the job goes, so goes security. When we sinned, we basically quit our job. We turned away from God and all that He wanted for us. With no hope of returning to Him on our own, we were truly lost in our separation from the one who had, in His love, created us. I know what I'm like. You know what you're like. Perfection is not among the traits that I possess. How about you? We ourselves are often our own greatest enemies. In some ways, we're like this fellow named Reynald. He was a portly 14th century duke, a Belgian duke, and he was overthrown after their father's death by his brother Edward. Now, rather than having Reynald killed, Edward took him to a castle and had a room built around his rather large brother. He was known as Reynald the Fat. Edward promised to return freedom and title and property to Reynald on the day he walked out of that room. Now, the room, of course, had several windows, and most importantly, it had an unlocked, near normal size door. But Reynald remained in that room for 10 years. 10 years. Knowing his brother's penchant for overeating, Edward daily sent a variety of delicious delicacies to his brother. Such love. Instead of exercising self-restraint and self-discipline as his way out of prison, Reynald ate his way into more years in prison. Reynald needed to be saved from himself. Like Reynald, we were robbed of our rightful and perfect relationship with God. Satan stole our proper place when we gave in to temptation in the garden and we ate what we shouldn't have. We were locked into a prison from which we could not escape, no matter how sincere we may have desired it. Like Reynald, as much as we desired freedom and restoration, our sinful natures kept us imprisoned. And because we were so lost on our own, that's why God, in His mercy, has provided so generously and so freely and so graciously for us. God did. God did what was needed for us to set us free from our prison of sin and separation from Him. And He did this only after all the proper preparation had been done. That preparation was centuries in the making. Listen, in verse 2 of the Old Testament lesson, to what God spoke through the prophet Isaiah some 700 years before the coming of John and Jesus. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed. What's the rest of it say? That her sin has been paid for. Say that again. That her sin has been paid for. That she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That's the Old Testament. And then today, in the words of John's father's Zechariah's prophecy, we hear clearly and plainly a repetition of what God's plan has been all along. Verse 77 of the gospel lesson says, to give His people the knowledge of salvation through the... That's right, through the forgiveness of their sins. Restoration. Restoration to God, that sure hope of salvation, is not through our own willpower. It's not through man's wisdom or scheming, and not through our own working. That's not the way salvation comes to us. No, it comes only one way. Through the knowledge of the forgiveness of sin, of the forgiveness of even our sinful nature. That is God's gift and has always been His plan. Salvation comes to us by God's grace alone. That knowledge comes only by the revelation of God to us. There is only one way of salvation, and it is by forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross and His resurrection from the dead. Now, God had spent, by our way of reckoning, a long time preparing for the salvation of man through the forgiveness of our sinful nature from Jesus' cross. And that preparation, like we talked about earlier, included John the Baptist and his father Zechariah. In today's gospel lesson, we hear the prophecy of John's role in God's preparation for Jesus' coming, so that he was coming to die and rise again, so that he would grant us that needed forgiveness. Before Jesus the Savior is even born, Zechariah prophesies that his son, John, will proclaim what Jesus comes to deliver to all the world. That salvation is through the knowledge of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. And that's also what St. Paul reiterates in Acts. It is to us, he says, that this, what? Message. Right, message of salvation has been sent. We now do as Paul did. That's what we do. We proclaim the knowledge of salvation that comes through understanding that God in heaven, God of creation, forgives us. Think on that. He does so only for the sake of Jesus' blood from the cross. Now, as God forgives you, we are free to pass on that forgiveness to anyone we know who needs it, anyone in our own lives who needs that. And if God has made such preparations for our salvation, how can we doubt that all that we need for this life, those things that we can't plan for, that He will also provide for? Now, though she couldn't see how her need of a job would be fulfilled, the girl in our opening story was provided for beyond what she knew or expected. God also has provided far beyond what we can deserve or what we can expect. And though we, like Reynald, cannot free ourselves, God, in His mercy, has made a way for us to be free. God's preparation for our salvation has seen its fullness and completion in the work and the merit of Jesus Christ alone. That finished work is what we take into ourselves when we come to the altar rail, when we come to the baptismal font, and when we hear His forgiveness declared to us according to His word. God delivers to us here His gifts through the eating of Jesus' body and blood, through the pouring out of the baptismal waters, and through the words of absolution, the knowledge that our salvation, as Zechariah proclaimed, is through the forgiveness of our sins. All this God prepared and planned. And all this God delivers to us in the name of His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.